So in chapter 5, points that we have covered so far is the stepwise growth of the individual who starts from selfish activities or karma. That is what we all start from. And then as we have studied in the third chapter, we start doing karma yoga activities dedicated to the Lord, to society, without I or my, without selfishness. And then Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that slowly you have to even renounce that, because a lot of us are at the stage where we are semi-retired or close to retirement. Even if we are not at retirement, all the time doing karma is not enough. Slowly I have to detach from karmas to study of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and slowly withdraw mentally. You still continue to do your work, but internally you are more connected with the Lord within. So that is called renunciation or sannyas. And then of course there are some people, we are not at that stage, but there are some who have total dispassion for the world, and they put on orange clothes or your yellow clothes and just spend their whole life in study and teaching. But for us, we have to slowly withdraw our full attention from the world and spend some time every day in self-study, contemplation, and trying to abide in this knowledge that we are getting from the Bhagavad Gita. And what is the benefit of this? We had studied last week in verse number 6 and 7, Sannyasastu Mahabaho Dukkham Aptum Ayogatah Yoga Yukto Munir Brahma Nachire Nadi Gacchati. It says that just trying to directly take sannyas and say, I'm not going to work, like what Arjuna had said, is difficult unless you have done karma yoga. So karma yoga is the basic. But once you have decided, then the delay is not much. People say, oh, you know, I'm such a sinner, I have not done good deeds. Bhagavan says, if your mind is in this direction, na chirena, without delay, you will reach. And then last week, we also learned the different step-wise. Yog yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan apina lipyate. So one who has done this yoga, worked for the higher cause, vishuddhatma, he's purified his mind, removed negativities, impurities. Vijitatma, controlled his mind and his body, where he decides what I'm going to do. And jitendriya, controls his senses, not let his senses run his life. Then what happens to such an individual? Sarva bhutatma, bhutatma, he sees oneness in all. And kurvan api na lipyate, and this person does all activities without bondage, without getting caught. So today we will learn about the man of wisdom. Man, of course, includes woman, but who is this wise person? How does this wise person work in the world? Which is a ideal for us to follow and encourages us to take this path. And the next few verses are talking about this man of wisdom. So this slowly Bhagavan is taking us from basic karma, karma yoga, to the highest knowledge. The fifth chapter is very powerful because it is the beginning of this higher teaching. So we'll do verse number 8 and 9 together. Verse number 8 and verse number 9, chapter 5. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tatvavit pashyan shrinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachan swapan shvasan pralepan visrajan grihnan unmishin mishinanapi unmishin nimishanapi unmishin nimishanapi Indriyani indriyartheshu
Vartanta iti dharayan
together. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tatvavit pashyan shrunvan sprishan jikran ashnan gachan swapan shvasan pralapan visrujan grihnan unmishin nimishan api indriyani indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan. So yukto tatvavit, so these are the two qualities of a wise person. Yukta means attached to the higher, tatvavit means knower of the truth. So a knower of the truth whose mind is connected with the higher, with the Lord, what does he do? How does he work? He says he does nothing. Nothing? Yep, he does nothing. Naiva kinchit karomi iti. I do nothing at all. That's what the wise person thinks. You say, well, so you mean he just sits like a dream, you know, just sitting and lost? Bhagavan says, yes, he does nothing. And then Bhagavan lists all the activities that we and I, you and I normally do. Pashyan is seeing, Shrunvan is listening, Sprishan is touching, Jigran is smelling, Ashnan eating, Gachan going, Swapan sleeping, Shvasan breathing, Pralapan talking, Visrajan Grihnan. Visrajan is to give up, Grihnan is to take. Unmishan, Nimishan api, opening and closing his eyes. None of it he does. Yeah, he does none of these. Is he a statue or what? I mean, he does not eat, he does not breathe, he does not talk, he does not see, hear, smell, taste, touch. How can he live? He doesn't even open his eyes. Yeah, he doesn't even do that. Why? Because he knows, Dharyan, Indriyani Indriyartheshu Vartante. So my sense organs are working in the field of sense objects. Vartante Iti Dharyan. He knows. So let us study this verse a little bit. When we say he is not doing anything, but activities are going on, it's not that the wise person does not do activities like you and I. He will act, he will work, he will eat, he will drink, he will, you know. In fact, these listing of these objects, these activities, covers all the four activities that go on in the body. So when he says, Pashyan Shrunvan, he's talking about the sense organs. I see, ears hear, seeing, hear, smell, taste, touch. Then when he talks about moving around or talking, pralapan, that is all the organs of action, hands, feet, speech, genital organs, organs of excretion. So sense organs are working, organs of action, I'm speaking, I'm touching. Then the mind and intellect and the memory and the ego, what is called as the inner equipment, antakarana, that also is mentioned in this. Unmishan, that's mentioned in Visrajan Grihanan, taking up and giving. So like bodily, I take up things, like I pick up this and then I drop it. Or mentally, I take up some emotion and I drop the emotion. They say, why are you so, you know, stressed about it? Just give it up. Or intellectually, I take up some ideas. This is the right. And then after a while, I realize that was not right. So I take and give up at all levels. And then the fourth is the physiological functions, like the digestive system, the respiratory system. So that also is meant in shvasan, in breathing. So all the four activities that go on in our body, the sensory, the motor, the physiological and the mental, are all mentioned in these verses. So the point is that this person is not that he is not acting, but he said, I am not doing anything. Why? How can he say that? Because it can be either from the point of view of knowledge or the point of view from devotion. So in this chart, is everybody familiar with this chart or anybody's new? Yeah. Okay, so in this chart, very quickly, this body, mind and intellect are my equipment. With the body, I feel with the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel all emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V represents vasanas or my desires. And Om represents God's presence in us. You can call it Allah, you can call it Krishna, you can call it Father in heaven. But Om is the God's presence. And what the scriptures tell us, I think I am this body, mind and intellect, but what we have studied so far from chapter 2 onwards, Bhagavan is telling us, you are all Om. All of you are, all of us are that consciousness, that Om, that divinity, that infinite, appearing in this particular body, mind and intellect. And I have a name, I am a male, I am a female, I am Indian, American, I am, you know, housewife, doctor, engineer. So those are all my equipment, but all of us that consciousness. So a wise person knows, you and I still think we are this BMI, but the wise person knows I am this consciousness. I don't do anything because this Om, the consciousness within us, does not do anything, but in the presence of consciousness, all activities are going on. So the example, so there is no sense of agency. He doesn't say, I am doing it, but in the presence of this consciousness, my body is working. The best example is electricity. Electricity says, I do nothing. Electricity does not cool the room or heat the room or light, but electricity, when it is there, then the bulb is lighting, giving us light, the cooler is cooling, the heater is heating, the air conditioner is cooling, the refrigerator is cool. So all activities, but electricity itself, she does not do anything. Electricity just provides the power, and then you can utilize the power, plug in and use for whatever function. So similarly, Om or the Lord or the consciousness within us does not do anything, but provides the power for me as the BMI to work. But a wise person knows I am that consciousness. You and I still think that we are this limited body, and that's where the ignorance is. So a wise person says, I don't do anything because I am that consciousness. In my presence, yes, all my body will be functioning. Not only my, but all bodies are functioning because of that one consciousness. So that understanding. For a person of devotion, again, he says, I don't do anything. Bhagavan does everything. I am just a humble servant. God has given me the power to work, and God is doing everything. So either way, the doership is gone. The idea is, see, you and I say, I do everything. You know how hard I work? From morning to evening, main kaam hi karta rehta hun. Nobody else in the office works except me. I do everything. If I was not there, the house would fall apart. So this I has to be reduced. And this is from the highest standpoint. At the worldly level, when somebody says, you know, can you pick up this paper? You don't say, I don't do anything. You know, I am the consciousness. No, whatever you do it, but without the sense of doership. The work has come in front of me. Hansa always says, whatever comes for the wise person, he does it without any sense of, he's not looking for things to do or trying to run away from. Whatever work, wherever the Lord has placed him, whatever station, works as his service or as I am the consciousness in my presence, everything is happening. Now, yukta, the word he Bhagavan uses many times in throughout, you will find in the Bhagavad Gita, yukta has two meanings. One is attached to the self, always. His body, mind and intellect is attached to the Lord within and to the total consciousness. So he's all the time working as, that's why, you know, all the great masters, if you see, you feel the Lord's presence in them. When you sit in the presence of these Swamis and saints, you very clearly, you can see Bhagavan there. Another meaning of yukta is that the mind and intellect work together. Together. In our case, what happened is the intellect says, you know, this is, I should not be eating this. I'm diabetic. The mind says, theek hai yaar, once in a while, eating is the joy. What is this? Ye nahi khana, wo nahi. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Let's have fun. So the mind and intellect do not work together. Intellect knows what is right, but mind does not want to follow. How should the intellect know? Through the spiritual knowledge. The knowledge is not only worldly, but the intellect is always connected with the spiritual knowledge. Like the plug is always connected with the electricity. Anytime you can take. And the mind listens to the intellect. That is called yukta. So both have to be there. The intellect has to have the right knowledge of the scriptures and the mind has to listen. In our case, what happens is the intellect knows, but the mind says, you might say you are Brahman, but I am here to have fun. Forget about this, you know, after retirement or next lifetime. You know, mind is always looking for excuses. Or the mind wants to listen to the intellect, but the intellect does not have the right knowledge. You know, we have never gone to lectures, never listened to great teachers. So either way, the person is in problem. The bigger problem is where the intellect does not know and the mind does not listen. That is the worst. Intellect doesn't have knowledge and that's called monkey. You know, that's why in Hindi you say monkey. So when the mind acts on its own without knowledge, that is monkey. Monkey knowledge. So that is they say it is like a drunk monkey trying to climb a ladder. That is the best example. A person doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't want to listen to the knowledge. You can just close the door, please. Just close the door fully. So not having the knowledge, not willing to listen, and doing whatever it wants is like a drunk monkey trying to climb a ladder. Can you imagine what will happen? He's drunk with alcohol. So that is the state of our mind. So yukta is intellect has the highest knowledge of the scriptures and mind listens to the intellect. That is called yukta. So right knowledge is very important. What am I supposed to do in this situation? This reminds me of a story. What is the right thing to do? So there was this interview for accountant. They wanted to hire a CPA, an accountant. And so there was a long line of men and women, you know, wanting to apply. So the examiners, three of them were sitting on the table and they called one guy and they said, how much is 2 plus 2? He said, 2 plus 2 is 4. He said, you can go. That's all? Yeah, that's all. Then he walked out. What did they ask you? You came out so quick. They asked me, how much is 2 plus 2? And I told them 4 and they told me, get out. The next guy comes. He says, maybe 4 is not right. I should say more. He says, 2 plus 2 is 5. I said, get out. You can leave. Other one said, maybe I said too much. They are same thing. So he said, I told 5 and they told me leave. Other one said, maybe thoda less I should say. So he said, 2 plus 2 is 3. You can leave. Then somebody said, maybe they're saying minus. So the fourth one said, 2 plus 2 is 0. You can get out. Other one, how much is 2 plus 2? 8. You know, all different combination. All of them get out. One last guy is left. Nobody so far got the job. He walks in and so they ask him, how much is 2 plus 2? This was for an accountant's job, CPA. So he said, how much is 2 plus 2? He says, how much do you want it to be? He got the job. He was, you know, for CPA, that's what it is, right? What now? How much tax in India? They say, how much tax you want to pay this year? So the point is that you have to have the right knowledge and the ability to apply that. And that is what this yukta person is. He has the right knowledge and he is able to apply that. But that does not mean that the wise person says, I don't do anything. For us, it's a very convenient excuse. You do something wrong and say, I didn't do it. You know, I am not the doer. I am that Brahman. You know, Bhagavad Gita says, Bhagavan Krishna says, I've heard in Gita that you are not the doer. So whatever wrong actions I do, it does not give us freedom to do the wrong actions. Or a wise person will not say, I don't do anything and will do the wrong actions. Why? Because there is no doership. As long as for you and me, when we do actions, there is a doership, we have to be very careful to do the right thing. And we know, all of us know what is right, either by intellect or by our emotions, by our instinct. So the right action, and even if we know, sometimes the body does not cooperate. The body does not listen. So a wise person, when he says that I am not the doer, there are two meanings come out of it. First of all, this person will not do the wrong things. See, a person whose mind is all the time connected with the Lord will have spontaneous love and compassion for everybody. So his actions automatically become divine, become loving, become compassionate. And he does the right thing because he's guided by the scriptures. And without selfishness, this person is working. Secondly, if by mistake, even a wise person, say, commits some mistake, maybe because of his vasanas or because of wrong understanding or he did not know the situation, then when a wrong action is committed, even by a realized master or a mahatma, the consequences will come. And the wise person is ready for the consequences. He says, yes, by mistake, I did something wrong, galti ho gayi, but whatever karma comes, I am ready for that. And again, then he knows that I am this consciousness. So the bad result comes to who? To the body, mind, and intellect. He says, that's okay. My body may be suffering. I may have some emotional, maybe I may be insulted or hurt, but that is not happening to me. The example they give is like a mirage. Say now I'm walking through the desert or I'm going in a horse or a camel or a car and I'm very thirsty, I don't have any water, and then I see this shining, which looks like water, and I stop there and I walk close and I find it's a mirage. It's not real, it is a sand, but with the sunlight reflected on the sand, makes it look like there was water and I was running to there because I'm thirsty, I don't have water, and my water bottle is finished. But having understood that this is sand, it's not water, when I come close, will I jump in that sand and try to wash my face or drink? No. I have understood that this is sand, it's not water, it was my misunderstanding. And so I'm not going to dip my bottle in that sand saying, oh, this was, I used to think it is water. So it is water. I've understood it is mirage. So I'll give it up and go for the next available water. So similarly, the wise person has understood that this world is a mirage. The world is a dream. It is an appearance. Upon that consciousness, just as the water is an appearance upon the sand. Once you have understood that it is not water, it is sand, you will not anymore look for thirst, my thirst to be satisfied by that sand. So similarly, once this person has understood that consciousness is everything and this world is a mirage, it is an appearance, then he does not look for happiness. He doesn't say the world should give me happiness, just as we don't expect that sand to give us water. He said everything is that consciousness. So this world is there. I'm going to work. I'm going to do whatever is required, whatever is necessary. But he's no longer seeking happiness from things, beings, people, position, situation, because he has found the source of happiness within. So that is the essence of this verse, these two verses put together, that activities will continue to go on, but the wise person knows that the Lord is doing everything, and the point of devotee or the point of knowledge is I am this Brahman consciousness. And in my presence, from the highest standpoint, when this person has understood, then he sees that yes, all activities are going on, but I don't do anything. Naiva kinchit karomi. Kinchit means nothing at all I do. So that is the message or the essence of this wise person. We are done with our class. It's a little difficult, but the next three or four verses will repeat this idea. So next week is one of the most beautiful verses in this chapter, which is how this wise person, where all the three, karma, bhakti and knowledge, all three are summarized in the next verse. Brahman adhyaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yaha. Lipyate nasa papena padma patram eva ambasa. So we'll do that next week. Anybody has any quick question or comment? Yes.
Just to kind of recap, it sounds as though what you were just talking about, kind of like the Buddhist idea of this life is suffering.
Life is suffering.
Life is suffering. And the whole meditation is to think about nothing. And so, yeah, and I know Buddhism comes from.
Yeah, my thinking is opposite. My thinking is this life is fun. See, once you have this knowledge, then the life is fun. Even when the problems arise, just watch them and say, okay, but I am When I am attached to the Brahman, then life is automatically fun. To say life is suffering is a very pessimistic philosophy. That's why they say Brahman is such chit anand, existence, consciousness, bliss. So my nature is bliss. So how can my life be suffering? This body, yes, will go through problems as we get older, mentally, intellectually, but I am happy. So the idea should be this life is bliss. And in the bliss, yes, some things will happen. So you can twist that. Say everything is happening. Even what is happening is good. Even tomorrow I get sick or I get some tragedy happen or I lose a job. There is some message in it. So, yes.
And one more thing.
Yes.
It seems as though on the chart, the body, the mind, and the intellect, they are really mitigated by the vasanas.
Yes. Vasanas are the ones driving it. Yes.
They're the ones driving it.
Right.
Okay. And just to be clear about the whole idea of karma. Karma means work.
Right.
But then in our culture, you know, we think about karma as, we have to go through this because of what we've done in the past.
Destiny, yes.
Testing. And all that karma is really the vasanas, which then inform.
Yes, yes, yes. And we can modify our vasanas by doing karma yoga. By doing unselfish activity, slowly you purify your mind. That's why last week we had talked about yoga yukto vishuddhatma. So one whose mind is purified with pure ideas, pure thoughts, then such a person very quickly reaches Brahman. Reaches that state of Brahmanhood. We all are Brahman, but we don't know that because of the vasanas. The vasanas are the curtain which obscure our view of consciousness. So as we purify the mind, the vasana layer becomes thinner and thinner. Gurudev always tells that. And the thinner the vasana layer, the more coordinated the mind and intellect, the closer we are to the truth. So the goal of our life is to reduce the vasanas, connect with the Lord, and ultimately the final state of enlightenment is not in our hands. That only can happen by divine grace. So I put in my effort, do whatever I need to, purify the mind, do the right karmas, have the right knowledge, and then surrender and say, Bhagwan, now you are the one. So that state of surrender has to be there, that I am not the doer. I don't do anything. Naiva kinchit karomi iti. I don't do anything. Yes. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kasche dukha bhavave. Om shanti shanti shanti. Harihi om shri guru. Harihi om.